Hi, my name's Mr. Barlow, and welcome to episode 5 of A Bunch of Interesting Stuff. In today's show, I'll be talking about the strongest organism on Earth, the end of the world, peer group pressure, biological warfare with aliens, a real-life Wolverine, and much more. Remember, if you'd like to know more about any of the topics discussed, just click on the links that appear in the iTunes album art throughout the episode. To start off this episode, I want to talk about a couple of records. So the first one is age, and the oldest human who ever lived was 122 years old when they died. That's pretty old. But the oldest animal that ever lived to be 405 years old. It was a clam, and that's pretty old too, 400 years. I'd like to live that long. But that's nothing, because a tree has just been discovered, which has been growing for 9,550 years. So that's old. That's really old for a living thing. The other record I want to quickly tell you about is that I'm pretty strong. I don't want to blow my own trumpet too much, but I'm a pretty strong guy. But they've just found the strongest organism on Earth, and it turns out that it's a bacteria, and that's because it's relative. So humans, the strongest human can lift a few hundred kilograms maybe, but the bacteria can pull with a force equal to 100,000 times their own body weight. So to equate that to a human, that would be kind of as though a human could drag something which weighed 10 million kilograms. How strong is that? Now, life's pretty good. You go out at night, you look up into the sky and you can see the stars and the moon, but it wasn't always like that. In fact, about 4.5 billion years ago, there wasn't a moon. Earth didn't have a moon. So what happened was this enormous object collided with Earth, and when it collided with Earth 4.5 billion years ago, it threw up a whole bunch of debris, so a whole bunch of rocks and stuff that circled the Earth, and they eventually coalesced or grouped together into a rocky sphere, which is what our moon is. So we didn't have a moon 4.5 million years ago, but interestingly, this enormous collision that happened changed the way that the Earth spun. So before the collision, it's believed that the Earth spun much faster, resulting in a day lasting about 4 hours as opposed to 24. And the enormous collision probably also changed the planet's whole rotation. So how different was life back then? Speaking of massive collisions, have you ever wondered how the Earth is going to end? Or how life on Earth is going to end? It might be that our sun expands and swallows us up. But a new study suggests that there's a small chance that either Mercury or Mars is going to smash into Earth and destroy all life on the planet. That's going to be pretty bad, but don't worry. It's not going to happen for about 5 billion years. So if you're still around in 5 billion years, you might be having to pack your bags pretty quickly, because the planet Mercury or the planet Mars might be about to smash right into Earth. That's unbelievable. So, I'm actually not concerned about, life or, human life being destroyed in 5 billion years by a massive collision. Because about 150,000 years ago, humans, or Homo sapiens, nearly became extinct. Apparently, about 150,000 years ago, the human population dwindled to about 2,000 people after a series of severe droughts, probably in Africa. So how about that? 2,000 humans were all there were on the whole planet 150,000 years ago, and now there's over 6 billion. So Mars, Mercury, you can smash into us. We're going to be here for a long time. Don't you worry about that. So the survival of the whole human species brings up another fairly interesting concept. What if we one day need to get off this planet and go to another planet? And what if the other planet we find and we go to has got other living things on it? Well, what's going to happen is we're going to bring diseases there. So, in fact, Earth is chock full of bacteria. There's about 40 million bacterial cells in a gram of soil. There's about 1 million bacterial cells in a milliliter of fresh water. You've got right now on you thousands of different species of bacteria, and you've got in total about 1,000 trillion bacteria in you and on you right now. So if you're afraid of bugs, don't be, because you've got lots on you. So what happens if we go to another planet and we take all these bacteria with us? And we make the aliens on this other planet sick, and we kill them all with the bacteria that we take with us. That'd be pretty bad. So what should we do? Should we never go to another planet? Or should we somehow try and disinfect ourselves before we go? Or what should we do? Maybe we should just do whatever our peers decide. So, peer group pressure, just do whatever they say. Did you know that humans aren't the only animal or species on Earth to succumb to peer group pressure? Apparently, rats do it too. So, apparently, if a whole bunch of rats are eating something really, really disgusting, and one other rat walks in and has a look at them, then it'll eat the disgusting thing too, even if it knows it's disgusting. So rats join humans and chimpanzees as species stupid enough to do things that they know are stupid just because their friends are doing it. Unbelievable. So, the Arctic? It's that really icy bit at the top of our planet Earth. And it's massive, the amount of ice up there. Well, some scientists have been doing a bit of research, and they're suggesting that the whole Arctic may, so this is only may, become totally ice-free this year. So the problem seems to be the fact that multi-year ice, which is the stuff that doesn't melt in the summer, is not piling up as fast as the Arctic ice is generally melting. So they reckon there's a small possibility that the Arctic may become totally ice-free in 2008 due to global warming, which is unbelievable. We all know global warming's happening. A bunch of different scientists have been studying some ice cores. So what they do is they go to where it's icy, Antarctica or Greenland, probably not the Arctic anymore, but Antarctica or Greenland, and they put a long cylinder down to the ice. And then they can find out about what's been happening thousands and thousands of years ago when the ice down really low first froze. And what they've found out is that current greenhouse gas concentrations are higher today than they have been at any point in hundreds of millennia. So they went back as far as they could, back 800,000 years, and they never found any other time when greenhouse gases were as high as they are today. And in fact, they're currently, carbon dioxide is currently 28% higher than at any other point in the whole history that they looked at. So, that's bad, but what's probably worse is that another theory has just come out about global warming, and that is that there's this massive amount of methane gas, which is frozen underneath the deep oceans and permafrost of the world. And apparently, if we pass a kind of climate tipping point, this could result in runaway global warming as a result of methane gas. So, methane gas is a more powerful greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide and things like that. So, if the frozen reserve of methane on Earth, which is twice as large as the whole world's known fossil fuels, if that somehow gets released, then we're probably in for a pretty serious heat wave. And if all ice on Earth melts, sea levels are going to rise something like 75 meters. So, if you've got a house near the beach, you might be underwater. I don't know when, but it's all possible. So, another interesting thing about greenhouse gases and kind of this environmental science, it's happening a lot lately, is that polar bears finally were listed as a threatened species. So, we've got one group of scientists saying that there's a chance that the entire Arctic ice may be melted this year, and polar bears have only just been listed as threatened, which isn't even endangered. I can't believe it. So their whole home where they live on the ice is about to be melted to water, and they've only just been listed as threatened. It's unbelievable. Last thing on global warming is that when the Earth heats up, less oxygen can dissolve into the water. So as global temperatures are rising, oxygen is vanishing from the oceans. So fish need oxygen. They get it out of the water using their gills. But apparently, because of this global warming, there's been these areas of ocean which have got too little oxygen in it for fish to survive. So, and scientists are calling them dead zones. So, fish can't live in them. Interestingly, the dead zones have lots of dead fish, I presume, in it. So, some fish take these kind of risks. They swim into the dead zone because there's a good thing to eat there, and they've got to get it and swim back out before they die. Kind of like, they hold their breath to go in and get something to eat. It's unbelievable. So, have you ever seen the movie X-Men? It's a pretty good movie. It's got a character in it called Wolverine, and what he does, he's got these metal, kind of like knives, I suppose, in his arms or in his hand. And what he does is he shoots them out of his hand, and they act like kind of these giant claws. It's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool movie. Go see it. This is unbelievable. Scientists have just discovered that a frog, it's called hairy frog. What it does is it intentionally breaks its own bones and then pushes those bones through its skin. So it punctures its own skin with the bones that it intentionally broke. And it probably does it when it's threatened. This is an amazing defense mechanism of a frog. It's Wolverine in real life. And that brings episode 5 of a bunch of interesting stuff to a close. To learn more, head over to mrbarlow.wordpress.com. I'm Mr. Barlow. Thanks for listening.